Well, good afternoon, and I'd like to greet you in Jesus' name again this afternoon. I'd like to take this opportunity, first of all, to thank the congregation here for your hospitality, for your encouragement, and for being good listeners. I'd also like to thank both Cataldo and Pine Grove for the gifts that you gave to us. So this afternoon, the path of meekness. And what is meekness? And before we can look at maybe at what meekness is, maybe we need to look at what it is not. And meekness is not weakness. We've heard that term before. Actually, meekness is exactly the opposite of meekness. Meekness is also not timid. A timid person may also be a meek person, but just because he is timid does not make him meek. A timid person lacks courage, he lacks boldness, he lacks determination. All things the meek person has. A timid person also lacks self-confidence, as does the meek person. However, the timid person is left with no confidence, or at best, confidence in another human being or another earthly thing that will pass away. It's the only place he can find confidence. Whereas the meek person has great confidence because it is founded in Christ. It is not self-confidence. It is found. It is confidence in the work of Christ and the work of God. Meekness is not simply a put-on humility either. It is humility. It is humility, but it must come from the true source of humility. But it is also more than humility. Now, meekness. The word meekness in Greek means the wild horse that has become obedient to the bit and bridle. And it is literally strength under control. And if you've ever watched somebody work with horses, and I have an uncle that's good with working with horses, and he can make a horse do pretty much anything he wants because he knows how to go about controlling that power. And he's physically not anywhere close to as strong as a horse. But the horse has become obedient to the bit and bridle and strength under control. And so meekness is anything but wimpishness and passivism. General George Washington shocked General Lafayette one morning by merely being a meek man. The story is told how one day Washington and Lafayette were talking together when a slave passed them by. The old black slave, as he passed, tipped his hat and said to General Washington, "Good morning, General Washington." Upon this, Washington immediately took off his hat and, bowing to the slave, responded, "Good day, sir. Have a good day." After a moment of silence, Lafayette exclaimed, "Why did you bow to a slave?" Washington smiled and said, "I would not allow him to be a better gentleman than I." Washington, with all his power as a general, I believe it says at this time, he would not have had to bow down, but he had his heart was right, and he said, "I would not allow him to be a better gentleman than I." The meekness of General Washington. Now I have another little story here. Probably comes a little closer to us as dads. Stories told of a father who was backing out of his garage one day when he heard a snap. And so he stopped and he got out to look and discovered his favorite fishing pole in two pieces. He had run over it. "Who was using my fishing pole?" he asked. And his little son confessed. 5-year-old son said, "I was." said, I was playing with it and I forgot to put it away. The man wasn't pleased, but he simply said to his son, well, thank you for telling me, and he didn't say any more about it. 2 days later, while shopping with his mother, the boy said, Mom, I got to buy Dad a new fishing pole. I broke his other one. Here's my money. And he handed her his total savings of $2. And his mother said, you don't have to do that. But I want to, Mom, the boy said. I found out that Dad loves me more than he loves his fishing pole. That father showed his son meekness and showed him what it all is about, what it is all about, and how to go about serving and being an example. Jesus said in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek are content and happy. They don't need to conquer the earth. Jesus said they will inherit it. And there's many men have set out to conquer the earth. We have the pharaohs of Egypt. In the Bible days, men like Alexander the Great, Napoleon, the Caesars of Rome, and more lately, Adolf Hitler. And each of these men who almost did it, some of them almost did conquer the world, they had one thing in common. Though they controlled huge armies and had great power, they did not have rule over their own spirit. And in the end, their kingdoms were lost and they were ruined. They had great power, but they could not control it. Now, meekness is not a quality we usually associate with conquering the world. These men were not meek, and they tried to conquer the world and did not. But Jesus did not say that the meek will conquer the world, but that they will inherit it. You see, it's not theirs to conquer, it is his to give. And what all exactly Jesus meant by that, I don't know. And so the meek are blessed by him and allow themselves to be controlled by him, and they are happy and content. I have 10 points that I'd like to look at from Scripture in relation to meekness. And the first one is one that we've talked about with every one of these that we've looked at. It is that meekness is a fruit of the Spirit, and we want to keep that in mind. We cannot be meek on our own. No matter how hard we try, we will not make it. Anything resembling meekness that is not of the Spirit is worthless in our lives and in the eyes of God. And it is when a person is born again and comes under the control of the Holy Spirit that he becomes strength under control. Number two, Christ is our example of meekness. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Meekness does not need to defend itself. The truth will stand and speak for itself. Pilate, when Jesus was before Pilate, he knew the truth about Jesus. He asked the question, what is truth? He had heard the truth and he knew it in his heart. Yet to admit it would have cost him way more than he was willing to pay. And just think of Jesus there before Pilate, having the power to defend himself with more than words. We had the whole powers of heaven at his disposal to defend himself there, and yet he chose to remain silent. Just think of the controlled strength evidence there. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus invites us here to become like him in meekness, and only then will we find rest for our souls. Matthew 26:52, then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Jesus did not need a sword. He had all the powers of heaven at his disposal. And here came these men to arrest him. And they were mere men. And they could have no power over him unless he allowed it. And he did allow it. He allowed himself to be arrested. Just the thought there again of the power that was under control. Those that trust in earthly power will perish by earthly, out-of-control power. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. Meekness and gentleness of Christ. Meekness and gentleness are closely related. And Jesus has both of these to the fullest degree. Paul had received it from Christ as a spirit fruit, and he beseeches them to, and us today, to receive it also. 2 Corinthians 10:8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. Verse 8 here is an example of meekness, using authority for edification and not for destruction. Using authority for destruction is easy. It doesn't, you just up and do it. And you can destroy a lot by it's actually not using your authority, it's abusing your authority. Using it for edification takes a power higher than ourselves to control that authority and to use it for edification, for helping those around us. 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Remember again that Jesus had the power to take vengeance on those that reviled him. And he chose not to, but to trust the Father to work things out. Again, we have controlled strength. Jesus, our example of meekness, let us learn from him. I'd like to look a little bit then at Moses. The Bible says he was the meekest man that ever lived. Numbers 12:1-4. You can turn to those if you like. I'm going to read them. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Like Christ, Moses here did not defend himself. We have Aaron and Miriam speaking against Moses because he had married an Ethiopian woman. But the thing they said really had nothing to do with that. They said, has God indeed spoken only by Moses? But because he had married this Ethiopian woman, I guess they didn't think God would only speak to Moses or something. And has he not also spoken by us? Verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God did speak to Moses differently than he did to Miriam and Aaron, and they knew it, and yet they spoke against him. But it says Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. But he allowed God to do the defending, and we see that God did defend him. It said, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam." You see, the meek don't try to fix things themselves, but wait for God to show himself strong. And too many times when we see abuses and wrongs, we think that we need to jump in somehow and fix them. Where if we had waited on God, he could have suddenly showed himself strong. Now, there are times when God uses us if we are meek and follow his leading and his way. But when we do it on our own way and in a reactionary way, it will only cause more trouble. We must allow God to show himself strong, either through us or some other way. That is meekness. Number four, meekness is to be sought after. Zephaniah 2 verse 3, "Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger." It says, seek righteousness, seek meekness. And who embodies all these things, righteousness and meekness? It is Jesus, is it not? And if we have his righteousness and his meekness, it says we will be hid from the Lord's anger, in the day of the Lord's anger. So we need to seek him. To seek Jesus means to seek meekness. And so meekness is to be sought after. Number five, meekness is essential in teaching or instructing. 2 Timothy 2:25, "In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. And many people out there oppose themselves. But to instruct those, doing it humbly, doing it with controlled power. And this is not just for preachers. We all can and are teachers. We all have those in our lives that oppose themselves, and to meekly instruct them. It is meekness is very important for instructing those people. Number six, essential meekness is essential in restoring those that have sinned. And this is a very closely related to the following, number five, but Galatians 6:1, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." First of all, ye which are spiritual. Make sure you are spiritual. Make sure you are following Christ. And be careful with what spirit you go about to restore. Go in the spirit of meekness. Go as a brother alongside. Don't go abusing your authority or your power, whatever it might be. And be careful lest Satan get an advantage of you, it says, and tempt you also. The meek person understands, and he passes that on to the person he's trying to help, that he is also fallible, and that he is also not perfect, and yet he has Christ within, and he's trying to help. And it makes him careful how he tries to restore those that have failed, because he sees the potential in himself. And we don't naturally have this spirit of meekness, and so we need to seek the face of God in restoring those that have sinned. And so meekness is a very important ingredient in and restoration. Meekness is also essential in subjection or submission. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And 1 Peter 5:5 says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. And we cannot properly be submitted to powers, principalities, or or powers, or the church, if we cannot control ourselves or do not allow the Spirit to control us. And I think especially in the church, we will need meekness to submit to our brethren. When we go to church with them year after year, and we learn their mistakes and we learn their weaknesses, and it can be tempting to say that, you know what, they're not doing it right. Why should I submit to that? And I've seen people, I've watched people, they're in a church and they're there for a number of years, and they learn to know the people and the ministry and their mistakes and their problems, and they have to leave. They go somewhere else. And they're there for about 5 years, and the cycle repeats itself. And it's sad because they do not have meekness to submit that they need as they learn to know the mistakes and the frailties of the body that they are part of. And if we insist on going on our own way without meekness, we will eventually separate ourselves from the church. So let us seek after meekness so we can properly be subject. Meekness is essential in hearing. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness. For those taking notes, this is number 8, is essential in hearing. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. See, we have the power to reject the word of God, to reject the engrafted word, as it says here. And so we need the spirit-controlled power of meekness in order to receive it. The engrafted word is the implanted word, the word that has been implanted into our hearts. Receive it with meekness. And humility is a part of meekness also, that we need to receive the word. And this word is there. This word is able to save our souls. And so let us receive it with meekness. And again, like I said this morning, the word is Christ himself, the living word. Number 9, meekness is essential in testifying by our lives. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge? That's a question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. Truly wise people are also meek, and truly meek people are also wise, and it is evident in their lives. And conversation here is a way of life or their behavior. And show your wisdom in meekness by the way you live, by the things you do. And it will be a testimony to those around us when they see our lives. That is what people read, is our actions, those around us. They read our actions. a lot more than they listen to the words we say. We can say all kinds of things, but if our lives don't line up with those, and they don't see that meekness within us, our testimony will not mean much. A controlled power is a powerful witness to the power of the Spirit in our lives. And then number 10, meekness is precious in the sight of God. But let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is, in the sight of God, of great price. Now this is in the context of talking to women here, but the application can be made to all of us. But many times I don't think women realize the power that they have. And when it is controlled by the Spirit of God, it is beautiful in the sight of God. A meek spirit is in the sight of God of great price, whether it be in a man or a woman. And it shows that they are allowing him to be in control. They are allowing him to show himself strong in their behalf. And so meekness, a meek person, is someone that God loves. It is precious to God to see that in our lives. So let us cultivate this spirit fruit that is precious in God's sight. Let us walk the path of meekness. Again, as we've looked this week at spirit fruit, let us ask God for his spirit. And when he gives it, let us not quench the spirit. And grow in all of these fruits of the spirit. Just have a little story here in closing. The Titanic was built in Belfast, Ireland. At the same time it sank, an American preacher was in the city of Belfast holding services in the church where many of the men who worked on this project had attended. They had termed the Titanic the ship that couldn't sink, or the unsinkable ship. When news came that it had sunk, and with it at least 16 members of his church, of this church had perished, a service at the church was called. All the dignitaries of the area were there, the mayor, the noblemen, the lords, the bishops, and ministers of every denomination. In the audience were many newspaper men and the newly made widows and crying orphans. This American preacher stood to preach and announced his sermon as the unsinkable ship. He did not, however, refer to the Titanic. His text was the story of Jesus in the little boat that was about to be destroyed by the storm as Jesus slept in the bow of the ship and the fretting disciples over their impending doom, until Jesus reminded them that as long as he was on board, they should not fear that they could sink. He quieted the storm and their hearts. How different was this humble little boat? It was more secure than the Titanic in all its human greatness, 1,000 times more secure, because Christ was on board. They did not have to fear anything. No human power can destroy the meek. In fact, no power can destroy the meek. May God bless you.